awful news that everyone would have heard this week, Marcus, about the attack at in Manchester at a concert for Ariana Grande, which has basically been interpreted as an attack on teenagers, kids, really, which has felt like a new low in terms of these kinds of attacks. And it's a difficult one to talk about because it's obviously awful, evil, horrible. There's not much really more that needs to be added, but just a quick short thing about that. This was my first reaction. I don't know if it was a good one or not, but this is just my honest thought, that if Ariana Grande, and I have never enjoyed her music, but if she somehow represents what a terrorist is all against, then on the day of that bombing, I will tell you, I became a very big friggin' fan of Ariana Grande. If she's a symbol of what the terrorists hate, well, then I'm a big fan. Marcus, you would have been watching blow by blow, play by play, the high profile wedding unfold that occurred over the weekend just gone. Pippa Middleton got married.
Yeah, no, I wasn't sitting in front of the TV with my cucumber sandwiches. Was it actually on TV live, or was it just pictures?
Well, there was actually a social media ban I think about it. So Pippa basically had people hand in their phones on their way into the wedding.
Okay.
There were legitimately, without lie, phone police were on the scene to make sure people weren't posting stuff.
That's pretty common in weddings though, isn't it?
Phone police?
No, well, not actual phone police, but there's phone requests at weddings these days.
Yeah. Well, phones are such a big part of our lives, full stop, that they're going to have a part to play in
weddings. Actual phone police, you're saying? Security
personnel whose sole job was to make sure people weren't posting stuff to social media. I imagine because it's such a high profile thing, apparently, and probably there was some deal done, I'm guessing, to an official channel to publish the photos. So those sorts of high price deals usually come with a clause of, you know, they want to be exclusive stuff. But also the big story, and I use story in quote marks, quote unquote story, is that Prince Harry, who what is his relation to Pippa Middleton? She is his sister-in-law.
Yes. Yep. Got it.
His new,
not even that, is it?
Well, something like that. Sister-in-law at best. Maybe it's more distant than that.
Yeah. Anyway, go on. Sorry.
Pretty sure that she is his.
She's
his sister-in-law's sister.
William's sister-in-law.
Yeah.
But it's not. Once removed with Harry. Anyway. They know each other.
His new girlfriend, who is a worldwide celebrity, famous for being on a TV show, she's done a fashion faux pas.
What did she do?
Put her foot right in it. Now, when you think about it, these are potentially... her, you know, this is a bit of a royal do. So this is her possibly future in-laws, who happen to be royals.
Yes.
You know, Kate Middleton was there, Prince William was there, and she wore the wrong thing to the reception. Apparently,
wasn't the outfit we saw Cassie Sainsbury wearing during her time in Western Sydney.
Track pants. Oh, no, okay, you're talking about her professional attire.
Yeah.
No. The faux pas she has done is she wore black. Yeah, I thought that was a bit of an anticlimax when I got tricked into clicking onto this one.
How dare she?
Well, apparently you're not meant to wear black to a wedding. It can be bad luck. Although I think that might be an old-fashioned thing.
I wear a black suit all the time.
Well, and you're bringing bad luck on everyone who meets.
Is that why everyone I know is divorced?
So, you know, I think that more to the point that this is a Hollywood star and we just wanted to have something to say about her, and I think the closest thing we could find to a story was she wore that. Oh, also, she didn't actually go to the wedding.
Yeah, I thought that was the right thing to do because there would have been a lot of publicity, a lot of shots taken of her and not the bride. But
I guess...
whether Pippa cared, I don't know.
Well, it would have been a bit of payback for Pippa, because you could almost say Pippa completely upstaged Kate Middleton at her wedding.
Yeah, that's it.
So, you know, the wheel turns. Come on, Pippa, like, it's your turn to be upstaged now, because everyone will remember, well, maybe not everyone, some might remember, after Kate Middleton married Prince William, really the talk of that wedding was the bridesmaid, Pippa Middleton, and I think a lot of the chat after that was around her bum, I believe.
That's right. I believe this wedding, there was a headline in one of the UK presses, "The Battle of the Bums." So was that was that Kate and Pippa, or was
who knows?
Kate and Will? Or,
there's so many battles of the bums. We're in the middle of a battle of the bums of our own right now. But anyway, we'll put that to aside. So if this Hollywood star had shown up, I think that would have only been fair, because think about her. What's she doing during that wedding? Like, she turned up to the reception afterwards, but what is she doing during the thing? Just sitting in a hotel room by herself? She's going to be hitting the minibar, because what else do you do? You talk about being left out of it. I think it's a bit sad.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, once again, I think, yeah, good on her. She's probably going to lose either way. If she turns up and swans in and everyone's taking a photo of her, they're like, oh, big attention seeker. And if she doesn't go, people like you are just bringing her down.
Yeah, true. She can't win. Just lastly, before we drop this one, never speak of it again.
Yeah.
The guy who Pippa Middleton actually married.
Yeah, who is this guy?
I don't know what his name is. No one knows.
It's Pippa Middleton's wedding, yeah, and no one else.
No one knows what his name is, but I'll quiz you.
Awkward rich guy.
The question was going to be, the man that she's marrying, it's a true or false?
Okay.
It's a multiple choice, actually.
Okay.
Is he rich? Yes or no? What would be your guess?
Well, yes.
Well, you didn't think she might marry a poor guy?
I think she would if she found the poor guy. But they just surround themselves with rich people, and probably a guy that works down at Coles just isn't going to have the same conversation.
She was never going to marry a poor guy.
Aww.
And this guy, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we should really get into how he looks. But some might say he's potentially, how do you phrase it, batting out of his league?
Or, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's one of those situations.
Now, I'm not the most handsome guy, Tim, but I still enjoy going to the Sunday Mail, looking at the wedding pages and saying, he's the winner. Or yeah. She's the winner, based on one being extremely good looking and the other person you're like, wow, that must have been some fast talking and plenty of flowers and romantic gestures to get those two together.
Or he must be a multi-millionaire.
That's it.
Now, newsman, if you're anything like me, you have never stepped foot inside any first class part of a plane or airport.
No, Tim, I'm not only in an economy, I'm normally right up the back or the middle seat between other people. That's how good I travel.
Super economy class.
Yeah,
that's all I've ever seen as well. But we've got an interesting story today. Pulling back the curtain into the first class, what we have learned today are the dirty secrets of the Qantas First Class Club.
Oh, sounds sordid.
Yeah, it does. Now, this is the exclusive lounge. There's one in Sydney and Melbourne. It's so plush.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even have it in Adelaide.
Right.
But if you're lucky enough to be a VIP going through Sydney and Melbourne, you can get into this first class club. Just to give you a bit of an idea, who's visited here? This is the place where Arnold Schwarzenegger will hang out before he gets on a flight.
Okay.
Ed Sheeran, Helen Mirren, Taylor Swift has been in there. Hey, this is a good one. Robert De Niro has been in there.
So big names.
How intimidated would you be serving Robert De Niro?
He'd be like, yeah, that would be pretty scary.
Do you know, when he gave me his order, I'd say, you talking to me?
Anyway, I was going to go there, but I didn't know how to incorporate that.
Terrible. Kanye West has been in there.
Yeesh.
So, you know, we're talking big deal club here. And what we have today are the secrets, the dirty secrets of what goes on in there.
Well, with celebs like that, I can expect plenty of secrets.
Guess what the number one most popular drink request is in the first class club?
Double vodka.
Oh, well,
Magnum of champagne.
It is champagne.
Champagne.
Indeed, it is champagne. They've gone through 200,000 bottles of champagne every year in that thing.
Wow.
So
people, party times, yeah. Waiting for a plane.
And then,
waiting for a plane? Or
this would be before you get on the plane,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Now, you've had your champagne. Guess the most ordered meal in the club.
Steak. Caviar.
Nah. This is...
lobster.
Well, getting closer. Might be a mundane choice, I don't know, but salt and pepper squid.
So I'll have my normal pub fare with some champagne, please.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it goes downhill. The next most ordered is the club sandwich.
Okay.
And here's a curveball. Making it into the top three most ordered meals, pavlova.
I thought you said it was going to be sorted.
Oh, it gets worse. No, okay, it doesn't. Okay. But anyway, now, it turns out these clubs are only in Melbourne and Sydney, and the coffee preferred varies from city to city. So in Sydney, they like your stock standard flat white. 200,000 coffees served each year in this thing. In Sydney, it's a flat white.
Yep.
Guess what is in Melbourne?
Cafe latte.
Yeah, spot on. Probably a bit of latte art on there because they love all that.
Yeah, little flying kangaroo etched on with chocolate.
Now, here's probably the most interesting. And I'm sorry if I misled you. These are not dirty secrets.
That's all right.
At all.
We have learned that you eat pavlova, you drink champagne with a bit of salt and pepper, just a salt and pepper squid just to kick you off.
But here is something that is quite interesting. The club has no corners.
What is it, like Willy Wonka factory or something?
Well, might be similar. I've never been in there, so I don't exactly know. But I'm reliably told that it was designed along feng shui principles.
Okay.
So, you know, these rich guys really get looked after. Like the rest of us plebs, you know, we can just sit in any old zone. But if you're important, you need to sit somewhere that has no corners, which is going to help your mental well-being. Maybe we'd all be a lot more successful if we were privy to these extras. Like all these corners in the rooms I'm sitting in are really dragging me down.
Yeah, I mean, that is probably what's holding us back, just four corners right around us.
We have so many
corners. There's way more corners.
Now that I'm looking, it's no wonder that we're stuck here doing this podcast.
So by having no corners, the feng shui or... Mm-hmm.
Helps
it
be
the negative chi just bounces away.
Yeah, see, the rest of us, we all have too much negative chi, as you describe it. All right, now let's wrap this up. This is the last and probably the most ludicrous fact about the Qantas First Class Club. Now, the club features Carrara marble.
Yeah, what's that?
It's on the walls and floors.
Okay.
And get this. It has come from the very same, exact same quarry where Michelangelo got his marble from.
Wow.
So, you know, the famous Michelangelo sculptures, the stuff that they're made out of, is all through these Qantas clubs.
If you spend that much money putting this in, would there be little signs on the wall saying this is also been used in classical art?
Well, you probably... pay a premium for using the quarry that Michelangelo used. So you would want to point that out, wouldn't you? Mm. You would want that fact not to be lost on anyone. But I would like... Imagine Michelangelo actually walking into one of these clubs. He's like, well, I got my marble. Here's what I did with it. You know, presents amazing sculpture. What have you guys done? Oh, you built this thing with no corners that rich people can sit in.
Yep, well, sounds pretty good, but I'll stick with my little miniature-sized can of Coke and... butter chicken in the back seats.
Yeah, I'll take that too. Marcus, you're a suave man. You would be a big James Bond fanatic.
Yeah, well, as people can't see at home, but we're both wearing tuxedos and we have a martini glass in hand.
And I am just screwing a silencer into the end of my pistol as we speak. But sad news during the week that Roger Moore has died. And he is best known... For his role playing James Bond. I'm not sure how many times he actually played James Bond. I feel like it would have been hundreds.
Yeah, I think it was about a dozen movies.
But a dozen? Yeah, that sounds about right. He did a lot, didn't he? It felt like the first James Bond movies I ever remember seeing as a youngster were starring Roger Moore. So I guess that was maybe through that period of, what was that, like late 80s, 90s maybe?
Yeah.
Perhaps early 90s?
Yeah, perhaps earlier or?
Yeah, maybe 80s.
Yeah, 80s.
80s was probably the decade, wasn't it? Before Pierce Brosnan took over.
Was there Roger Dalton as well?
Oh, that's right.
So he
would have been in between those.
So many of them.
So many. But for me, Roger Moore is James Bond. And it's different for everyone, I guess. It depends on when you grew up. I associate him very strongly with the character. In fact, I can't even think of a single other thing he ever did other than James Bond. I'm sure there was probably plenty.
I guess for many of the actors that played Bond, if you took on that role, you had to be prepared for the consequences that you'd be forever known as James Bond, and very hard to break out of that, I would have thought.
Yeah, not many do much else after, do they? I mean, Daniel Craig has done some other stuff, but once you've done it, you seem to be remembered for that for a long time. Anyway, we could speculate about... There's so many tangents that hang off a James Bond story. Like, immediately I'm thinking, who's going to be next? But anyway, we're talking about Roger Moore. He was 89.
Good innings.
A good innings. A short battle with cancer, it's being described as. I'm not sure many really knew that he was sick. I hadn't heard that he was not well. Died in Switzerland.
Yeah, seems a pretty appropriate place for a spy to end your days.
Yes. The hospital bit, though, doesn't seem quite right. I think he should have probably gone out in a bit more of a fitting way. I don't know if it's wrong to...
Tied in rope, hanging from above a barrel of boiling acid, or...
with a laser beam targeted at his crotch.
With a watch giving him just enough time to get away. Or am I thinking of Austin Powers? So?
Oh, they all blend into one.
Hey, you mentioned Roger Moore to you was James Bond. What do you think are the key aspects of James Bond? What makes an actor James Bond?
Well, there's this whole elegance thing. You've got to be really, like, elegant is the only word I can think of. Like, you've got to take on the bad guys and save the day, but do it while wearing a suit and looking like a, you know, Gucci model. I don't know if Gucci is the right reference.
Looking stylish, looking suave.
Yeah. So I don't know whether all the actors who have played Bond have, you know, pulled that off really well. It'd be interesting to know how much of that relates to real life. Like, are they actually like that in real life? Because, I mean, you can only act so much. If you can pull that off on film, you must have a bit of that happening in real life as well. Or I like to think so anyway.
The other major part of Bond, and a lot of the clips that were compiled for news bulletins we've used during the week, were all about the humour, all about the play on words. And he was a master of it in terms of things that were a little bit naughty,
mm-hmm.
a few little sort of sexual references, but not really. That's the word. That's the term.
Yeah.
And he was great at it. It was very corny, but that's what I liked about Bond. I wasn't so much into the serious part of the James Bond movies. I was more about the cheeky sort of comments about the leading ladies and his response to the evil characters in it as well.
He was corny, it's different now. James Bond is more an action hero. But yeah, probably looking back on those old movies of his, they are quite different to what they make now. But just to finish it off, any predictions about who will be the next Bond?
Ooh...
I've got an idea, but I want
to... You tell us your idea and I'll see if I can come up with something.
I think they're going to do something really unexpected and really break the mould. Oh, well, you've just popped the bubble.
Oh, sorry.
I was going to say it'd probably be Amy Schumer.
Wow, Jamie Bond. I like it. Amy Bond. Yeah, that's good. Something to think about.
Yeah, mull on it and get back to me. Hey, newsman, calls this week to change our national anthem, Advance Australia Fair.
Not again.
Yep, again, this pops up every now and then, along with, I guess, this and the flag. We seem to bounce around. Do we like it? Do we not like it? Do we want to change? Yes, we do. No, we don't. Some do, some don't.
So what's the latest angle on this?
Well, some are wanting just to throw the current one out completely.
Okay.
Just bin it.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with something better or different.
Right.
Bizarrely, 2004 rap anthem Hey Ya by Outkast was proposed as, right. as a replacement. And strange situation unfolded where Parliament had to formally reject the suggestion. I don't even know how all this happened, but anyway, they formally rejected the suggestion to replace our anthem with Hey Ya.
I'm going to have to Google that. I can't.
Oh, you know it if you hear
okay,
it.
Okay, okay.
For sure.
Has it got Hey Ya in it?
Yeah, there's a lot. The phrase Hey Ya is repeated many, many times.
That can't be an anthem.
Oh, it was. Anyway.
Standing there winning your Olympic gold medal. Hey Ya.
Well, exactly. No, it couldn't be. It might have been a hip-hop anthem, but it's not a country's anthem. So that's been ditched. That idea's been ditched. But this one seems like this has also been formally rejected, but it seems like it could get more support to change just one specific line in the first verse.
The word girt often gets debated, but it's not this time.
Girt does get attention, but no.
Girt
would be left in under this change, which has been suggested by someone reputable. This judge from Victoria, he wants to see the line, "For we are young and free," to be replaced by "In peace and harmony."
Right. So, and what's the reason behind that?
I think the reason behind it is when you consider the Indigenous Australians and how long they've inhabited Australia, we're not actually very young.
The young part.
Yes. So, you know, a bit of debate there. Plenty people on each side of the fence.
Well, I guess if it fits in and it doesn't change it too much. I've never understood why so many people are against the national anthem that we have at the moment. What are the reasons? Why, from your experience, what have people said? Can you think of reasons why people don't want the anthem? Is it
well,
because
probably,
it's sort of dated or...?
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's got to do with some of the controversy around Australia Day. It feels like there's a bit of debate about all of like Australia's, you know, sort of traditional institutions and important days and ceremonies, and you know, it's all up in the air a little bit. I don't really know where we go to. I feel like the anthem, and that I think a lot of people will feel like that line, that change, that's no big deal. I mean, if that's an important thing to change for some people, no one's really probably going to want to stand in the way. But it feels like an anthem is something that you need to have, that needs to exist for hundreds and hundreds of years.
That's what I reckon.
Like the countries that get really passionate about their anthems, like I remember seeing some rugby games where the Italian players will be basically screaming their national anthem while crying at the same time. I don't know the backstory, but I don't feel like the Italian anthem has been chopped and changed around. I think they've probably stuck with the same one.
But why don't Aussies feel pride about this national anthem? When I'm in a football crowd, I love singing it out. I like seeing it at the Olympics, but yet people just don't have a passion for it. Or is that just Australians? Couldn't get excited about anything.
It's probably just us all around.
As you said, it needs to be there for a long time. Give it time, people. Give it hundreds of years.
Yeah, let it bed down for another 400 years, then we'll regroup and discuss again in 2417.
Web guy, Australian actor Rebel Wilson's been in court recently, basically sharing a bit about her life story because she says magazines like Women's Day have defamed her, basically branding her a serial liar, and in doing so have dented her Hollywood career. What's your take on what's been involved in that and whether the attention is warranted?
Well, she says that once these articles were published, immediately her career was destroyed, that the phone literally stopped ringing and that she was fired from jobs she had already got. As a direct result of these articles, which I find just baffling. I can't see how that could be true at all.
So it was about her upbringing and about her age that came into question?
That's right.
To me, I wouldn't have thought film casting agents would really... Does that make a big difference? It wouldn't it be what you look like, your body of work,
and
how funny you are.
That's exactly what I feel like. I wonder if something else has happened. Wonder if we'll find out the real reason why everyone stopped wanting to work with her, and she's perhaps thrashing around trying to find a reason why it's all gone downhill for her. Because if you think of other actors, a bit of negative publicity has not really done anyone's career any damage ever. When you look at some of the past examples, Robert Downey Jr. has been, you know, dragged through the press for substance abuse problems and has even done time in jail.
Yeah.
Great career. His career is, you know, he's one of the highest paid actors in the world. What about Hugh Grant? Probably the most embarrassing and highly publicized event ever covered. When he was busted with a prostitute, his career certainly didn't go down the toilet. He's still been appearing in heaps of things.
I find you mentioned those two examples. I find, and it must be a reflection of their work and me getting involved in movies, I don't ever think about their past when I'm watching a movie. I enjoy what they're doing at the time. It's a weird one. So yeah, you're right. People have survived, yet Rebel Wilson cannot because she's a liar. We'll be right back.